This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Broadcast range, of course. We do have to deal with the FCC and their pesky rules. But beyond that, you can express yourself pretty freely here on Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Matt,
and Nikki.
And later we'll talk about a haunted town, apparently, that has been made illegal to even visit. Nikki's got that story that's coming up later. We do have a couple calls on the line, so we're going to go to those. But I want to get back into this CBDC that is now happening in Jamaica. It is the fourth, according to Financial Times, the fourth or the fifth country in the world with a central bank digital currency. What does that mean? Why does it matter to you here in the United States if that is indeed where you're located, or elsewhere in the world? If you don't have a CBDC yet, maybe you're not so concerned about this. Well, you ought to be, and we can talk about that and what they're planning to do, how they're going to roll this thing out. We can get into all that coming up here. But let's go first to Shag, calling us from Massachusetts in enemy territory. Shag, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes, I am in enemy territory. I've been trying to get up there for over a decade. But,
damn. Come on, buddy. You got to get those leg shackles off first, and then maybe you can
I know. Life's complicated, but I just wanted to say, I just wanted to say I love this show, and it was made clear that there were not enough. There wasn't a diversity of callers. That it was all these chronic callers calling all the time, and I actually just wanted to say I've envisioned it in some weird way how funny it would be if you had like a chronic caller Royal Rumble, if you could all if you could get all the chronic callers together and do a big Royal Rumble. But I love the show, and I was saying to you, Ian, that you, Mark, Michael Dean, Nima Vadati, you guys really helped sort of crystallize my understanding of liberty, probably around like 2012 or something.
Nima Vadati.
Great libertarian rapper, Nima Vadati.
Sure.
I don't know what he's doing these days.
I don't even know what either one of them is doing these days.
I think Michael Dean has moved, as I understand it. He used to be in Wyoming. Michael Dean, the former host of The Freedom Fiends, which was a very interesting and entertaining show for many years. But he hung up his headphones, I believe, and moved, I think, west of Wyoming, if I recall. If Bonnie were here, she would know, because she actually she follows his posts regularly on social media. He's doing a lot of stargazing these days, from what I understand.
Cool.
Like, he's got a telescope or whatever, and he's taking nighttime photographs of the night sky and posting those online. If you look him up, I'm sure he's not that hard to find. I think he's got a Twitter account.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll check that out.
I'm sure he'd appreciate you saying something to him like, hey, man, thanks for all the great shows.
Yeah, did you ever see Guns and Weed, the movie they made?
Yeah.
That was a great movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Still
is
great movie.
Yeah, trying to bring the old liberals and the conservatives together, but obviously the liberals have turned to total authoritarians, but
some of them have. I think there's still some that are of the old school.
You have your Marxists and then you have your classical liberals.
Well, thank you, Shag, for the kind words tonight. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah. I was just thinking, you were talking about CBDCs.
Yeah.
I think about liberty every single day throughout the day, how to be more free. And I, just to be honest, I'm absolutely terrified by the feds, and they're clearly cracking down on anybody who wants to, transcend their system, their economic system. So I don't know how to go about doing that in a way where I'm protected. And also, the CBDC thing is just absolutely terrifying.
You don't know how to go. Let's start with the first part. You said you don't know how to go about doing that to where you're protected. When you say go about doing that, what do you mean?
I don't know how to go about, like, pursuing a more free life without being, you know, I mean, I know that some people just want to be left alone and they want to be off-grid and all that, but to actually make change, you know, it's going to require activism. It's going to require a pushing back.
Well, I mean, it really depends what freedom means to you, because that is different for everybody. Some people, you know, being more self-sustainable, homesteading, having a farm, being able to, like, produce their own food and kind of being out there in the country where there aren't as many cops, there isn't as much going on as in the city. For some people, you know, that is a huge step to freedom, or even just being a property owner, you know, having that can be freeing for some people. Moving to New Hampshire is usually a great
New
Hampshire
is a good idea, because then you get the community behind you. I mean, that's not going to necessarily save you, right?
There's a lot of support here, though.
But it's nice to have somebody show up at a court trial or something like that. And I'll tell you what, Shaq,
you know, one thing, Shaq, I want to tell you, you know, I'm sure you have your reasons or whatever, but 10 years is a long time. You're starting to turn that's throwing excuse flags to me. So,
it's true. It's true. I've had opportunities. I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, there have been a lot of terrible things that have happened in, like, the past 5 years that have really kept me here.
Yeah, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what has happened and what, you know, what I want to just share with you, and this is what I kind of did. I visited a lot. I came to New Hampshire quite a bit. I was making a 5-hour drive quite often just to come kind of hang out in Keene. I didn't really know the people up here yet, but I hung out with them and I got to know them a little bit. And then I had an opportunity and I struck, and I left a lot on the table when I left. And it was hard because I had a lot. And what I realized when I got here is all, like, a huge portion of the things that I was so afraid of leaving behind and having happen to me, they really just worked themselves out, and I didn't leave anything behind. I moved everything here, and it kind of happened organically. I didn't really plan on that happening. It just kind of happened. If you follow your dreams, good things will start happening to you, and that's what I found over the years. And I, you know, freedom's dangerous, buddy.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think there's stories like that out there. You know, when you put the intention into the universe,
right?
That this is what you really want to do, all of a sudden the doors will start to be there for you to open up. You have to notice them. You have to take the opportunity, take the initiative, and do that thing. And Bonnie's story is a perfect example of this, where she said, you know, I really want to do this. I want to go. I want to meet Ian. I want to come to New Hampshire, etc. And out of the blue, some guy who she'd never had any kind of interaction with at all sends her a message, direct message on Twitter, saying, we're hiring people to do door knocking in New Hampshire. Do you want to go, you know, come work for us? You know, it was one of those Young Americans for Liberty things.
That was that Keith?
No, it wasn't even Keith. It was just some other guy. I mean, he does work for them, but no, some other guy, just some random guy, had no idea who she was.
You know, Shaq, where are you at in Mass, Shaq?
Just like 18 miles west of Boston, which I try to stay as far away from Boston as I possibly can. But
why do you come up here at some point and just hang out with us on a Friday?
I mean, I haven't done that. I mean, I've been to Porkfest a few times.
Okay.
I got a buddy lives in Fitzwilliam. You know, I know a couple people up there. But you know, we go to Keene sometimes when I go up to see him. But
well, if your buddy's the same buddy I have in Fitzwilliam, we should probably get to know each other, because we call him Papa Smurf. He's a great guy.
Yep, I think you're talking about Jake.
Yep.
Jacob.
Yeah,
so,
it's a small world.
Very, very good friend of mine. Very good friend of mine. Love him to pieces. Why don't you come up here and grab him, because he doesn't get out enough either. Tell him I want to see him up here in Keene, and we'll all go out to dinner together, because Jacob and his girlfriend have been planning dinner with Nikki and I for like 3 years, and we still haven't done it.
When you said, if your friend's my friend, I thought you were trying to make a joke, and then it actually was the same guy.
No, Matt knows everybody.
It's probably only one libertarian in Fitzwilliam, right? Yeah. You know, two or three.
Yeah.
But come on up, man. Yeah, I'd love to meet you in real life and just start doing that every few weekends. Awesome. Just, you know, come up for
Yeah, dude, do the whole thing. Do the whole Southern Tier. Go to Manchester for a Tap Room Tuesday. Go to the Seacoast for whatever the hell they do on the Seacoast. I'm sure there's something.
On the Free State Project website, I think it's fsp.com or .org.
.org, yeah.
They have the full calendar of all of the meetups and all of the events that are happening in the entire state.
Yeah.
So you can pick, you know, you can just look through it and see what's going on. And people, actually, a lot of people, we're a very active community. A lot of people show up to these meetups.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great opportunity to meet people that you've never met before. Maybe see some of the people from Porkfest that you have met before. And you never know what kind of opportunities are going to open up. It may be like somebody's like, hey, I'm looking to hire a blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I can do that.
Yep.
Or, you know, that kind of thing. So then you get those connections. Hey, Shag, thanks for the call tonight. Thanks for the kind words. Best of luck, okay?
I hope we get to see him.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Let's go to somebody who's actually pretty close to Fitzwilliam. His name is Ridley. He's down there in the even more southern tier of New Hampshire, right near the border of Massachusetts on the southwestern corner. Go ahead, Ridley.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys had heard anything about Heidi Mascia.
Heidi Mascia?
Yeah, well, I heard, unfortunately, she has passed away. I don't know how or why, but I know she's been in a bad way for...
Who is this, a Free Stater?
I remember Hardy.
I remember a guy named Heidi Mascia.
Heidi Mascia was a good activist.
Did he
elected
pass away,
state
too?
House. He had cancer, and he did a lot of pot activism back then because they wouldn't let him have medicinal, and one of his final acts of activism was recording a video with all the medical equipment hanging off his face and so forth,
yeah,
and he's saying,
right.
You won't let me have the medicine that would help me, you know,
that's
treat
so
myself.
Sad.
And he was just a heroic guy, and his wife.
He's a Free
Heidi,
Stater, right?
Yeah, he's a Free Stater, yeah. And so is Heidi. But Heidi.
So his wife is unwell.
She passed away this week, and it's a sad thing. I don't know the details behind it, Ridley. I don't.
Yeah, I also don't know. I didn't even have confirmation that it had happened. I just, you know, it's just so sad. Both of them, and she couldn't have been more than 45.
No, she's not very old.
He was young too, and I believe he also ran for something as a libertarian, maybe Congress or governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did run for something. Yeah, that was a long time ago. I mean, that's several.
It was
most of a decade, if not.
We lost him in 2013, according
to.
Wow,
10 years. Okay,
but you know, we there's not much we can do when we lose somebody. We can make sure at least. The world knows it happened.
Yeah, well, then there's no need to forget them and what they've done.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, unfortunately, the reality of a movement that is as large as the Free State Project, people are going to start passing away. I mean, whether it be through natural causes or entirely unnatural ones, like a car accident, which has happened. I was just thinking, somebody asked us the other day, and there was a guy in Winchester, actually, a Free Stater who ran off the road at one point. They think he might have had some kind of heart condition that might have spurred this to happening, but he ran off the road while he was driving a big truck or something and did not survive the crash.
And he was a really, really good dude, too.
He was a town selectman. He'd been elected.
And not only that, the town loved him and his wife, Gloria. So they were really, really good people down there.
Yeah, and there was another person who got crushed by a giant boulder in their backyard or something.
Gosh.
They were working in their backyard with, I don't know why they were underneath it, but they put themselves underneath this boulder, and it moved in a way they weren't expecting or something, and they ended up passing away. They were dying. There was, of course, John Connell, the founder of the Peaceful Assembly Church, who literally died in a fire, sadly, in his church in Grafton several years ago. Somebody who had a big inspiration on me founding the Shire Free Church here. That guy was a great activist.
Sure was.
So, I mean, there's a long line, sadly, of people who've already perished in the Free State Project migration here. But on the good side, people are having kids, and there's always new people moving in to New Hampshire. So that's the good news.
More libertarians have died in New Hampshire of all kinds of causes than even exist in most zip codes.
That's probably true. So it is sad news, Ridley, and thank you for sharing that. Anything else?
Well, with regard to the downsizing of the show, I had a couple thoughts.
I wouldn't call it a downsizing. It's just a different restructuring or different sizing. We've changed a few things around here. There's now...
Ian always has a word, and this is one time he didn't, so he made one up.
I would say it's a restructuring of things here, Ridley. We're still doing 7 fresh shows per week here in on Free Talk Live. It's just we've brought in some of the best libertarian voices from around the country to head up some of our shows. So you got Ernie Hancock from Declare Your Independence on Monday nights. He's a, you know, ball of energy.
Awesome.
That guy's
He's
amazing.
Awesome.
And you got the guys from Good Morning Liberty, Nate and Charlie, which maybe not as many people know Nate and Charlie, but they've been doing a daily podcast 5 days a week, roughly, for 4 years now.
Wow, that's great. So I'm not familiar with them.
There aren't many people that have the level of dedication to the craft of doing Liberty Radio as these guys, these three guys, Ernie and Nate and Charlie from Good Morning Liberty. They're doing a show called Liberty at Night that is on Tuesday nights. And we got Mark Edge, longtime co-host here on Free Talk Live, who always complains he doesn't get enough airtime. Now he's heading up Edgington Post on Friday nights with his old buddy, his old boss, actually, from the comic book store. You've heard Mark, I'm sure, talk about how he used to work at a comic book store when he was 12 years old, and he got paid in comic books. Well, the guy that was the owner of the comic book store, friends with him.
Yeah. No way, that's so cool.
And they're doing a show together. And
that's awesome.
He's the
what an evil capitalist to, you know, employ a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah,
how
well,
dare
he wasn't employed, quote-unquote, right? He's only getting paid in comic books. But so they still have a friendship, and his name is Henry Raines, and Henry is kind of Mark describes him as a progressive. I'm not sure how Henry would describe himself.
Has he been on the show before?
He has, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so yeah, I'm familiar
together
with this person, yeah.
And so, you know, Mark's kind of a libertarian, maybe conservative socially, and then you got this progressive guy in there, so they're not going to agree on everything. So that's what we're doing on those nights. Nights, Ridley, and the other nights we are still live, still here in the studio.
The show on Tuesday, do they accept calls?
No, it's all pre-recorded.
So here's what we're losing when we lose all these nights that you guys are on, and that's the ability of the little person to get a piece of information out, right?
Yeah.
There's really not very much an individual can do to get information out easily anymore. It's not like 2015 or 2010. So every show that you guys had on was represented the ability of an individual to get before.
It did. Unfortunately, very few people took us up on that option. So it was really hard to justify continuing it as often as we do it. Now, that's not to say that we won't be doing some other live shows from the studio. We still have all the equipment here. We can still flip on the mics anytime we feel so inspired. It just won't be anything that's guaranteed to happen 7 nights a week from the studio. So, I mean, if news is breaking on a Monday and we're like, we got to talk about this, we can't wait until Wednesday, we can just go and do a live internet-only show.
Free Your Talk Live.
And it doesn't have to be 3 hours. We can just be in and out in an hour if that's all there's worth talking
about. I'll tell you what, hosting Free Your Talk Live is a ball.
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot more
fun. You can't say bad words.
Yeah, on this show, we have to watch out for FCC things, you know.
Yeah, and so I think that's going to probably happen. I just don't, you know, at this point we're still getting everything rolling with the other shows, and I haven't really had time to think about the technicals of doing that. But no, there's no reason why we wouldn't be able to have other shows. It's just we're not tied to the radio schedule of having to be here 7 nights a week from 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. And it would be one thing, Ridley, if people were actually doing as you're suggesting, if they actually valued the idea of being able to get heard on dozens of radio stations any given night of the week, but the evidence is people don't value it. I mean, you do, Ridley, but you know, the other people that value it are Sarah and Ricky, and you know, I can count them on one hand, and they get a little stale. You know what I mean?
We had somebody call into the show, I think this was Sunday, who literally said when certain callers call in, he's like, okay, that's, you know,
he's out.
It's not even like he fast forwards it. He's like, this is, and I'm sure there might be other people like that. And it would be fabulous if we got really great calls, everyone that was calling. But we do have those chronic callers that basically just call in just so they can hear themselves speak, talking about the same thing every night, pretty much.
Right, yeah. I've called in about this before and suggested a solution, and I'll suggest it again. Yes, you've got to let them through. It's Free Talk Live. You're letting anyone on the air, letting them change the subject. But there's no law that says you've got to leave them on for 5 minutes or discuss them for 5 minutes. Give them their 30 seconds, just like I get when I call in to, you know, local talk radio.
Well, Well, I'm going to talk to somebody if they're doing something interesting, and sometimes those callers have things worth talking about for more than 30 seconds.
Sometimes, yeah.
We'll judge it how, yeah. I mean, I judge it as it comes in, but the thing is they're the only ones who call. I mean, Ridley, it would be one thing if there were, so we got 5-6 lines here, right? So if, Ricky's on hold, but I've got 2 other calls who I've never heard of before, they're going first. I don't care if Ricky's been holding longer than they have. I'm going to put the fresh calls on. I'm going to put the people I don't know on the air. So already we prioritize calls based on, whether we've heard from them or not ever. And the people that have been on more often, they get kicked to the back of the line. So, but the thing is, there's never anybody else on. Or hardly ever is there anybody else on. So that's just the reality that we've been dealing with for years. And as I explained in my blog post at freetalklive.com, this has been something I've been thinking about since before COVID. So this isn't something that just has to do with the fact that I might be going to prison, for some amount of time. That's certainly a factor, but this is actually something I've been considering for a long time. It's just the show and the callers on it have gone stale, and it doesn't meet my vision for what I wanted to do with Free Talk Live. And if it's not an interesting show for me, I don't want to be here for it.
Other than callers, better callers, what is it that you need that you don't have in order to keep the show going?
For me, Free Talk Live was a show I put together in 2002 because I felt as though, as a talk radio listener and sometime caller, I thought there wasn't really any platform on which someone who wasn't wanting to agree with the talk show host, whichever talk show host we're talking about, could actually get on the air. Now, some hosts will take people that disagree, but none of the hosts would just take somebody who wanted to talk about something completely different. It's usually the host sets the table, the host sets the topic, and then you either come and you play ball with their topic or you don't get on. So I wanted to create something where people could do something else, and, an open phone show wasn't unheard of. Certainly it had been done before, but it had never been done with libertarian hosts in the way that we did it. And we did it very successfully for a long time, and I think it was fun to do for a very long time, and it just isn't the same these days for whatever reason. We still have 170 radio stations throughout the week. They're not all on at the same time, but we don't have as many big stations airing the show during the live hours, so we don't have the same kind of exposure. And so we don't have the same kind of participation. And to me, I mean, I can sit and I can talk to libertarians all that I want to, but I'd rather talk to other people. I'd rather talk to people that have different ideas and people that want to get something out there, like you said, Ridley. And I'm telling you, they just don't seem to care. And as talk radio's listening audience gets older and older, younger people aren't replacing them. That's just the reality of it. I wish I was more optimistic about it, but, Nikki, you're a Gen Zer here in the studio. How many of your friends your age listen to broadcast radio?
Probably none of them, aside from listening to Free Talk Live, which they probably utilize the podcasts in Odyssey and things like that.
Yeah. So we're going to go in this direction for a while, Ridley, and we'll see how it goes, man. I appreciate the feedback, and thank you for the call tonight.
Glad you're getting a break.
Yes, sir. Well, it's not a break. I'm still here working every one of those nights to make sure the shows get on the air. So it's a different form of work. But there's more coming up here in moments. The number 603-283-6160.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Congressional Republicans continue to scrutinize the Biden administration over the issue of illegal immigration.
During a hearing Wednesday, former Texas DPS Captain Jason Jones called on the federal government to intensify efforts against drug cartels.
If we do not designate these cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, 100,000 Americans that we are losing year after year to date is just the beginning.
Tennessee's Mark Green, head of the House Homeland Security Subcommittee, attributed the responsibility to the Biden administration. The hearing comes on the heels of an admission by the Department of Homeland Security that 40% of catch-and-release migrants have disappeared.
Correspondent John Schaefer. Mortgage rates in the U.S. are dropping slightly. The average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dipped under 7% last week, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Experts credit the cooling of inflation. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Matt, and Nikki here in the studio tonight. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And unfortunately, last week there was some bad news that came out about Dash Direct, which we've been talking about for a couple months here on Free Talk Live. Our co-host, Captain Kickass, had been using it regularly since before Dash was a sponsor of Free Talk Live. He was a big fan of Dash Direct. Unfortunately, the company that was behind Dash Direct, which also is the same company that's behind the Monero gift card thing with, like, Cake Wallet. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Mm-hmm. I use Cake.
Yeah, they have the same kind of Dash Direct thing where you can buy gift cards for, like, 150,000 locations around the country, various big retailers and stuff. That company bailed. They said, you know what, this pressure from the government thugs is too much. We're out.
Which is good. I love that because it won't be people who think in company terms that launch crypto into the future. It's going to be small, regular people.
Well, still, it would have been nice. I mean, it was nice for people to be able to buy their gift cards with Dash through Dash Direct. And unfortunately, that company said, we're not feeling comfortable. And so they exited the crypto business entirely. But that is not the end for those of you who would like to buy discounted gift cards for Dash. Because that was the killer thing about Dash Direct, was you got a discount when you paid with your Dash. Bitrefill.com also has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, and Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Now, not all of them are discounted, but there are some that are in there that do offer a small discount if you pay with cryptocurrency, including Dash. So go to bitrefill.com because you can literally live off of your Dash using bitrefill.com, and you can learn more about Dash in general over at Dash.org. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can learn more over at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. As we go to more of your calls and thoughts, and we'll talk more about the CBDC coming up here in a moment. But first, Chuck is on the line in Washington State. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to get back on topic that you were getting into in regards to radio callers. I listen to a station that proudly airs Free Talk Live material, KTOX 1340 in Needles, California. There's a lot of people that call that radio station in the local area that appreciate what you all do, and sometimes you get those contributors on your show.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad that all of those callers that contribute to KTOX on their local show doesn't step up and call Free Talk Live. But I see what you're saying as far as, or I see your concern about the idea that or concern about the possibility of AM radio going away. But do you think that there's these cycles that we might go back to here? Like, for example, we were all going to CDs and or tapes and then CDs, and then in the early 2000s, we decided that, you know, records were important. You know what I mean?
It's You're like, saying things that are old again being new again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility.
Do you guys have record collections?
I have, like, a very extensive record collection.
That's so interesting because you're the youngest person in the studio.
Exactly. And so I think what he's saying here does have some weight.
Well, you make an interesting point, Chuck, that sometimes what's old is new again, although that's not always true, right? I mean, who's bringing back the 8-track tape? There's no movement for that, right?
No.
Like, that's not a thing. 8-track tapes suck. Tape as a technology sucks. It is poor technology that had its time, and its time has passed.
Although the very best way to listen to music is on a reel-to-reel.
Is that true?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah,
it's better than an album. It's better than vinyl.
I don't know if I'm buying that.
It's for real.
Because whenever the head, the magnetic head on whether it's an 8-track,
yeah, you
got to
update your machine. I mean,
whenever that head touches that tape, it hurts the tape.
Mm-hmm.
There's a damage that is done, a generation effect, I believe is what they call it, if I'm recalling correctly. And essentially, the more you play a tape, the worse it's going to sound. So you just cannot get
that
around
sucks.
That.
But that's with records,
yeah,
too, because records get grooved, right?
Is that true? I don't know. Is that true with records?
If you take care of them, I mean, it's a big thing, like not scratching them, making sure you're taking care of them.
But do they get worse over time if you're not?
For sure they do. Definitely. I know.
Does the needle actually?
Yeah, do you have to replace the needle, too? Like having a good quality needle does make a difference.
Right. But if you play the record over and over and over and over again, it definitely wears out.
Does it really?
I've worn them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wore out... I wore out Billy Joel glass houses,
wow,
I think.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I want to be, as somebody who grew up on radio, you know, I'm in my 40s, right? Radio was a thing when I was growing up. It's true for you as well, Matt. In fact, you used to be on a pirate radio station, as I was also into pirate radio back in the day.
I didn't know you'd remember that. I did.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And, you know, that was something we all grew up with, and you too, I'm sure, Chuck. And nowadays, you know, young people aren't growing up with that habit, right? Like they're coming out of the womb and there's a phone being slapped in their hands. You know, it's like right early on, they're playing the video games and such on their phones. These days, you've got Generation Z or whatever comes after them. They're not even hanging out with their friends in real life. I got a whole article about this, that they're not even spending time. Like, when we were growing up, if you'd go out to the mall or you'd go run around the neighborhood or whatever, and now you don't
Now they can just TikTok each other and Snapchat each other, so they don't even have to be in the same room.
If they are in the same room, they're probably still doing TikToks with each other.
You know, it seems like I saw a video online recently. Like, it was like a TikTok video or something, but it was of like an 18 or 19-year-old girl that bought a box of stuff at a yard sale, and there was a tape in it.
Mm-hmm. She's like,
what's
this?
And she was like, what is this?
I saw a post recently. It was a CD player, not even a Walkman or anything, just a regular CD player, a portable one, and it was in some museum.
Like a boombox kind of thing?
No, just the little ones that with the headphones that connect to it.
That would be a portable one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the portable one. It was... Right. In a museum.
So I don't know, Chuck. You know, I appreciate your optimism, but I think some technology doesn't come back. And I'll make the argument. Again, I love radio, but why would someone tune in specifically to music radio? I'll pick on music radio because at least with talk radio, you could say, well, talk content's original. If a talk station has somebody who's really interesting, and that's the only place you can get that content, then people are going to go and get that content from that place, right? So you could say that. But with, like, music radio, they're playing the same old songs that you can get on Pandora, and you can get on, you know, Spotify and Apple Music, and you can get it out on demand. I mean, who really needs the radio program director to select the songs for them? Did you go, Chuck? Are you still with us? I think he's gone. Who needs that? I mean, that's why I asked you, Nikki. You're in your 20s, and you've got girlfriends who are in their 20s.
Yep.
As you were growing up, how many times did you guys listen to the radio together, driving to school or whatever?
A lot, actually.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. And I've always kind of had older cars, too, so I didn't have Bluetooth in my car.
You didn't have any fancy stuff. Okay.
No.
Okay.
So if I wanted something besides the radio, I had my stack of CDs.
Well, then that's
so.
Something.
And then you
that's
know,
something. But
that
when
was
I
when
you
I was
now,
in, yeah.
when I asked you now, you know, 10 years later, right, or not even quite, not quite 10, several years later, you said hardly anybody that you know listens to the radio.
Well, not talk radio, specifically talk radio, and I would assume most people, unless again, like I said, they have an old car and they haven't, you know, ripped out their stereo to put a new one in that has Bluetooth capabilities. You know, the radio is kind of your only option while you're driving. But most people I know have newer cars. And, I mean, even a car that's like a 2010, that's going to have Bluetooth in it a lot of the times. So
and it's not hard
Why would you listen to the radio when I can plug my phone in and I can use Spotify or iHeartRadio or, you know, Pandora, any of those things, or even my own, like, curated playlists? I can play on demand any song I want.
You mentioned these services that play music. Do you subscribe to them, or do you get the commercials?
I have a Sirius.
No, I don't have any of those. Actually, I just use Apple Music on my phone. I make my own playlist,
and that's included when you buy an iPhone, right?
You have to pay extra for it.
Oh, you do.
Yep.
So you are paying for a music service.
Yes.
Okay, and that's like what, $10 a month?
Five.
$5 a month,
yeah.
And that gets you a lot of music.
Pretty much all of it, yeah.
Zero commercials?
Zero commercials, yeah. And actually, I really do like Apple Music because they have a radio feature, which is kind of like their version
streaming.
Of like... Yeah, so it's like their version of like iHeartRadio or Pandora, where it's kind of curated for you. You can be like, oh, I want to listen to country music, or I want to listen to 90s country music, or whatever you want to listen to. And they kind of just feed you songs.
Yeah. And you can punch them up or down if you don't like them.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
And then they also have playlists that are made. So, and you can find other people's playlists. So a lot of my friends, they're like, we like your music. So they go find my playlist.
Yeah. I mean, back in the old days, that would be somebody would hand you a cassette tape and they would record their favorite songs on there,
right? Or CDs. Yeah.
So that's kind of the new version of that.
Yep.
But, I mean, that $5 a month for all of that. And then you go and tune into a radio station. It's like, okay, we'll be back after 5 minutes of commercials. I mean, yeah. Who wants to put
and
up with that?
So I listen to mostly classic rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a lot of, especially in the area we're in, the classic rock stations, I swear, it's like the same 20 songs over and over again.
It's probably 180,
since I
but
was
it feels like
a child.
Yeah, it
yeah,
feels,
but
like
it
the same
feels that way. But and I, it's,
you never get the deep cuts.
It's been for the past, right? Like, 10, 15 years at least, they never have anything different. Yeah, yeah, none of the B tracks or the deep cuts.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, more
well,
than
a
feeling by Boston over and over and over again.
There's a
and
reason
like,
why those songs are the hits, right? Because
they're
people,
good,
believe it or not, want to hear them over and over again. That's, I mean, they but yeah. The radio stations have done studies for years on this stuff.
Yeah.
But obviously, if a aficionado like yourself who appreciates the deep cuts, you're just not interested in that particular radio station.
I have Sirius satellite radio because
you do a lot of driving.
I do a lot of driving, and that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it specifically because they have one station on there that I love for nerdy reasons. But
it's
called
awesome.
Yacht Rock.
Yeah,
Nikki gets tired of it, but it's like they do play like the same 20 songs. It's all Christopher Cross.
What you're talking about on the Sirius XM or whatever it's called,
mm-hmm.
they have like 200 stations.
Yeah, you can listen to all kinds
choose
of stuff,
from,
right?
And they have a deep cut station.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Grateful Dead and a Fish station. Like right they up. Kind of have this like edgy type of music that you're not going to listen
gonna
to
get on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think they have
And what are you paying per month for that?
I have no idea. I don't know.
He doesn't even care. That's how good it is.
Did it come with the car, and then you just
came with the car? I had it in my VW too, mm-hmm. and I just continued it on. I had a complaint about it where I was going to drop it, and they said, "Well, how about we discount it?" And they like gave me like. They didn't just slightly discount it. They deeply dropped
Whoa.
The price. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'm in. I think they were charging me like $40 a month or something like mm-hmm. that. And
so that's $20 now
like,
or something.
Yeah, 15. No, they dropped it to like $8
wow.
a month.
Whoa.
Yeah,
but so. You know what? I heard they're not doing so good.
Yeah, well, I think that's why they wanted to keep it.
Because people do, you know, it's a step above that music radio that you're mm-hmm. going to get just on your car.
Yep.
But it's still a few steps below plugging your phone into the Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to choose whatever you want.
They do have many millions of customers, so I expect they're doing all right. But again, that comes back to the conversation we were having earlier when I asked you Liberty Media. I'm pretty sure they own Sirius XM.
It's not in their list of things that it says they own.
Really?
I thought it was.
Oh,
I thought you said
sworn.
It did.
I mean, I don't pay close attention, but I do read the industry trades. And I remember when
Matt was reading off the list a few segments ago, I swear he said Sirius XM.
Asset list.
Well, anyway, let's continue.
They got me wanting to look it up.
We can continue this here. LibertyMedia.com, Sirius XM Group. Comprises our ownership in Sirius XM and Live Nation Entertainment.
Yeah.
As of April 30th of this year, they owned 82.4% of Sirius XM.
Huh.
So there you go. Same scumbags.
That's huge, yep. I was surprised that they own the Atlanta Braves and they own they own Formula One.
Ooh, that's crazy.
Formula One, that's a weird thing for them, but it's huge.
Let's go to the phones. We have Skeeter on the line in California. You're on Free Talk Live.
Skeeter.
We know.
Hey, Skeeter, what do you know?
Nothing.
That's a good answer.
Oh, that's great. Why should we listen to you?
So maybe I'm interesting.
Well, if you know nothing, I don't know if that's going to be very interesting. But go ahead. What do you got?
I'm just trying to be a little self-deprecating. Maybe he gives me some credibility. I'm really not, but... okay, so you know how I say you guys aren't really true proponents of the market? I called in to challenge how you view the market and how it will be post-government, you know, after, like, let's say, government collapse or your foolish idea of repealing it somehow or convincing others to repeal it. So I think libertarianism needs to rethink what the market really is. And if I'm right, your movement will need a type of like a libertarian Copernican revolution. Right. So that's why I'm here.
What does that even mean?
You're here to start a revolution. Now, define a libertarian Copernican revolution.
So you guys center your movement around freedom, non-aggression, and rights. Right? I think you guys totally need to rethink this because you don't understand what the market will be even after, let's say, you manage to get rid of democracy. Right.
But the great Skeeter understands what the market will be in the future. Please, lay it out there, Master.
So I'm an evolutionary utilitarian, right? I said that before. You might have forgotten it. Who bases morality...
All I remember is you are a utilitarian, which to me is somebody who is willing to enforce their views by violence if they believe it's necessary. And that's all I need to know about you.
Strawmanning begins again. Strawmanning...
That's what a utilitarian is, dude. And you already said tonight already that you don't support the things that libertarians support, like free markets.
No, I totally support the market. I just disagree with what the market will be after the government.
That's you said you want to keep the government around. You specifically said we ought to change how we view and keep the government around, which is a monopoly on violence that uses the threat of violence against peaceful people to enforce its views, which always benefit their friends and punish their enemies.
Could you stop strawmanning me? I said I want to accelerate government so it collapses fast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're an accelerationist. Okay, so what's this Copernicus thing?
Okay, so I'm an evolutionary utilitarian, right? I base morality in the mechanism of evolution, right? So I start with evolution. I see what it's trying to do, and I base my morality around that. I'm trying to help it accomplish what it.
Are you following him yet, Matt?
So he sounds like the type of person who could turn out to be genocidal. Because if that works to the end of...
It's what he wants, right? Yeah,
For
the good of the people.
If the XYZ people aren't, moving along quickly enough or they're holding back evolution, then we should just help evolution kill them off, which it will do eventually anyway. That sounds like what he's...
No, I can see how you would people can misconstrue that. You can get into genocide or what Hitler did with eugenics. I can see how it can be misconstrued. But no, nature is not a zero-sum game, right? So you can see in nature it's beneficial to cooperate, trade, exchange, that type.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always a guarantee. Right? So don't misconstrue what I'm saying with something like genocide. Which makes a society less efficient, normally. I mean, there can be a case where if there's a population of people that are trying to kill another, but that still doesn't violate your non-aggression principle. But I'm digressing, so let me get back on track, right?
I'm not even sure what you said, but you were going to tell us about the Copernicus thing or whatever it was called?
The Copernican revolution you guys need, right?
Yeah, tell us what we need.
So I think that your misunderstanding of the market. So I think the market will be very different from how you envision it after government, right? Post government. I think I've derived the fact that the market will be an uncaring evolutionary machine, right? A machine that doesn't hold freedom and non-aggression as a principle. And I don't believe the market will respect natural rights as you see them.
Okay. Well, here's what you're missing, at least from my perspective, is the market we want to be in. Is a market full of people that understand human rights, a market of people that understand the value of freedom. I could see what Skeeter would be saying if, in communist China or California where he lives, and you just pressed a button tomorrow and then the government were gone, you would still have a bunch of psychopaths and sociopaths living nearby you that would still want to do crazy, violent things to their neighbors and justify them somehow, which is, of course, exactly what the government allows. But if we actually have a population of people who, let's say, have migrated to New Hampshire, who are liberty-minded individuals, who manage to persuade their neighbors that liberty is the best answer to all of society's problems. It's not a utopia. There's still going to be problems. There's still going to be issues in the market, in the free market. But that the solution to these problems lies in the absence of the coercive state. People that want to come to a place like that would have a very different market than whatever you've got there in California, Skeeter.
Except kids, right? Right, Ian?
What?
Except kids. And,
what does that have to do with anything?
Prostitute kids, right?
What?
I mean, you're talking about a market that respects non-aggression, but you have already admitted to me that aggression's okay with respect to parent with kids. Or when...
He always goes back to that for some reason.
Yeah, he does. Do you have any other questions for this guy, Matt, since it's your first time with him?
Nah.
All right, have a nice
night.
It sounds
dark.
Yeah, it does get dark. And that's the thing, too. I just don't, whether that is the natural evolution of the market. And like you were saying, Ian, you know, depending on the population of people and depending on, you know, location where this would happen,
yeah,
you're going to get a different result.
Right.
For me personally, I don't really want to be neighbors or trade with people who don't value my rights and who believe in acting aggressively with me. Like, why would I even want to, I mean, we could coexist, I suppose, but that's not who I'm going to, you know, want to be my neighbor or want to work with or want to trade with.
Right. That's why I said when we were talking earlier about the Live Nation company coming in and taking over one of your favorite music festivals,
yeah,
and forcing all the vendors to only accept credit card,
yeah,
nothing else. That's why I said if that were me,
yeah,
I'd finish the day. You know, I'd go and I'd enjoy the reason why I went to the show, yeah, which was to see the bands. But I would be like, no more. I'm not coming, yeah, back to this show. I don't. This is not the kind of group that I want to do business with. And I understand that's hard to do in the corporate world, right? Like, you, yeah, know, it's hard to go out and buy things in life that are, you know, not coming from these big corporations. They all do objectionable things at one level or another. But at least at Walmart, I can go in and lay down some cash and buy some toothpaste if, yeah, if I need to. They haven't gone all in on the total banker world like this Live Nation thing. And that's making a choice to not do business with some organization that's trying to shoehorn people and is literally using near coercion. I mean, you can't quite call it coercion against their vendors because they still have the choice to be at the festival, but to basically drop the hammer on these people that you know have for years lived on cash sales, that is their bread and butter. That is what, if you are doing festival vending, you're living on cash.
Yeah. They,
like, most of these guys don't take credit cards. They're not interested in taking
it. It costs money to do
right.
that.
It's 3% at least.
The scary part about it is essentially, and we're seeing a lot of places, you know, it's not just this one festival. A lot of places, a lot of restaurants and, mm-hmm. and things like that are only doing credit card now.
And I don't see it that often.
That's scary, but I have seen it some places.
Yeah.
And it is scary because for people who don't have a credit card or
right.
don't have the means to get a credit card,
what do they
that
do?
Is essentially, like, what if you have, you know, a homeless person or a low-income person
yep.
who, you know, maybe they work for cash, whatever. You're telling me that because they don't have a credit card, they shouldn't deserve to eat at your establishment?
Or instead,
it
they
feels
have to,
gross.
Right, or they have to go into Walmart or whatever, get one of those prepaid cards off the shelf, pay for the prepaid card, then pay more money to load the cash
yeah.
onto the prepaid card, which is never cheap. It's, you know, $5 fee usually at minimum from what I understand. Then maybe they can take that card in and maybe it'll work at the register, although I'm pretty sure those cards are kind of on and off. Like, they don't always work at
yeah,
all
I've
places.
Yeah, I've had some that don't work.
So, like, what do you do?
You know, you put your last $20 on one of those. And now it doesn't work.
But I think Skeeter is right, too. The only thing he's right about is that markets will not necessarily be what you think.
Right.
They're also not going to be what Skeeter thinks, either.
Correct.
Necessarily. We can't predict.
There'll be lots of things, lots of
yeah.
places.
Yeah. And they will reflect the needs and the preferences of the people that they're serving. So if you're living in a very conservative place, it's probably going to be hard to find an abortion.
Yep.
You know? That kind of thing. So move to a place that's more like you. There's more coming up.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.